Remember watching the revolving door at Trump's Bedminster residence with the people who had become members of his first cabinet? Trump treated it like The Apprentice, but all his contestants were ringers from the Heritage Foundation. Yes, the same ones behind Project 2025. To keep this podcast brief, I will go through a few major highlights, because I could go on for hours with all the hirings, firings, resignations, and how Trump appointed people as acting to circumvent congressional approval for as long as he could, only to replace them with another acting member. So established in Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, the Cabinet's role is to advise the President on any subject he may require relating to the duties of each member's respective office. Trump's Cabinet included Vice President Mike Pence, Chief of Staff, and the heads of 15 executive departments. Jeffrey Rosen was the first and last acting Attorney General, but Trump went through a couple attorney generals and deputy AGs in between until he found loyalists like Bill Barr, who had quit a month before the end of Trump's term, putting Rosen back in as acting AG. Let's talk about former Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who was the first senator to endorse Trump and for his loyalty became the first attorney general. Sessions would enforce mayhem at the border and be known for putting kids in cages. He said that when you violate the law, you subject yourself to prosecution, and then he quotes the Bible.
I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained the government.
Sessions loved Trump, but would not interfere in Mueller's Russian investigation. So Trump fired him only 11 months into his term and installed Bill Barr, who would delay the release of the Mueller report in 2019, and sent a short 4-page analysis to Congress saying there was no Russian collusion. And Trump celebrated his acquittal, which it wasn't. It was described that Mueller expressed his differences with Barr by sending a letter describing his concerns of Barr's letter to Congress and the public one a few days earlier. Mueller thought that Barr's letter did not fully capture the context, nature, and substance of the findings. Mueller's letter to Barr protested that he had distorted its findings and asked him to swiftly release the report's own summaries. Instead, Barr made the report public only weeks later after a fuller review to black out sensitive material. This desecrated the work of all those who worked on the report that only confused the public. Mueller would say he could not indict or say if there was or was not Russia collusion because of a DOJ memo that says you couldn't indict a sitting president, but could after he left office. Barr would continue being Trump's lapdog, like pushing through Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing. But his final straw is when he couldn't take Trump's big lie and told him many times that he did not win the election. So he gave his resignation. A.G. Rosen would fill in until Trump left office. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur L. Ross Jr., known as the Bankruptcy King and former member of the Forbes 400, who apparently lied about his net worth for years before he was removed from the list in 2017, when new information on his fortune was revealed when Ross became secretary and had to file a financial disclosure report. Ross worked with Donald Trump on a casino recapitalization in 1990. What does the Department of Commerce do? It works with businesses, universities, communities, and the nation's workers to promote job creation, economic growth, sustainable development, and improve standards of living for Americans. A Vanity Fair article in 2019 said that Ross described the bombing of Syria as an after-dinner entertainment for the Mar-a-Lago crowd, where he's naturally a member, and has been accused of stealing from his former colleagues, and called people evil for having the audacity to allege that he hid his investment in a Russian shipping company with ties to Vladimir Putin. Are you connecting the dots yet? He would tell federal workers who weren't getting a paycheck to take out loans and stop their bitching. He would regularly not show up to meetings and fall asleep in the ones he did go to. Vanity Fair called him the Trump administration's resident reincarnation of Marie Antoinette. Trump liked calling General James Mattis Mad Dog and saying he knew more than the generals. But as Secretary of Defense, he made Mattis' job unbearable because he wouldn't attack foreign countries or break alliances like Trump wanted. But he did his best to keep the military focused on their jobs.
You just hold the line, my fine young soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines. You just hold the line until our country gets back to understanding and respecting each other and showing it, being friendly to one another.
Mattis made his case for keeping troops in Syria. Trump rejected his arguments. Mattis told Trump, "You're going to have to get the next Secretary of Defense to lose to ISIS. I'm not going to do it." So he gave his resignation letter a couple months before he was supposed to leave. You can read his patriotic letter online. Just Google it. As usual, Trump style, he would go to Twitter to publicly humiliate Mattis, tweeting, "Probably the only thing Barack Obama and I have in common is that we both had the honor of firing Jim Mattis, the world's most overrated general. I asked for his letter of resignation and felt great about. His nickname was Chaos, which I didn't like, and changed it to Mad Dog." And then he continued with another tweet. "His primary strength was not military, but rather personal public relations. I gave him a new life, things to do, and battles to win, but he seldom brought home the bacon. I didn't like his leadership style, or much else about him, and many others agree. Glad he is gone." Afterwards, Mattis would become vocal during the Floyd protest, saying Trump wants to divide us instead of uniting us, and would pen the book Call Sign Chaos, but hardly mentions Trump. People were disappointed, but he said he doesn't speak about sitting presidents. Talk about honor versus arrogance. But later, Mattis's former chief speechwriter and communications director, Guy M. Snodgrass, would write a tell-all book called Holding the Line, Inside Trump's Pentagon with Secretary Mattis. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said he answered the call to serve his country when tapped by Trump. In 2013, Putin gave him the Order of Friendship, a Russian honor for his significant contribution to strengthening cooperation in the energy sector. His leadership at Exxon didn't qualify him for such a high position and would struggle to run things at the State Department because he was constantly being undercut by Jared Kushner, who was running his own shadowy State Department, and Ivanka Trump. He would fall out of favor with his only ally, John Kelly, who was the chief of staff, when it got back to Trump that he called him a moron and that he never denied saying. Tillerson would be the first to be fired by tweet that read, "Mike Pompeo, director of the CIA, will become our new Secretary of State. He will do a fantastic job. Thank you to Rex Tillerson for his service. Gina Haspel will become the new director of the CIA and the first woman so chosen. Congratulations to all." Trump would later claim that he wanted a new team and someone on the same wavelength when an upcoming sit-down with North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un, who Trump was exchanging love letters with. Tillerson's replacement, Mike Pompeo, was a juggernaut while crisscrossing the world meeting with conservative donors during official state trips. The Koch brothers would bankroll his political ambitions to run as president in 2024 while looking into other options like governor of Kansas. He has a myriad of ethic complaints on how he abused his position and his staff for a personal task. Trump loved his bombastic strongman way of handling state issues, and Pompeo did his bidding, including undercutting Ukraine, which led to Trump's first impeachment. The list goes on and on of Trump's erratic behavior when it came to those he appointed. It was total chaos. Trump made a deal with the Heritage Foundation. They would get him elected. The only condition is they got to pick his vice president and cabinet. Of course, he agreed. This time, Project 2025 goes even further, wanting to fire all civil service workers, which is over 2.2 million people, and replace them with white Christian nationalists who pledge their loyalty to Trump. They have already trained many replacements on day one. You can read it for yourself starting on page 69, chapter 3, Central Personnel Agencies, Managing the Bureaucracy, written by Donald Devine, Dennis Dean Kirk, and Paul Danz. Or listen to episode 6 in season 1 of my podcast. My 18-year-old son, who just registered to vote, proud mom, started looking into Project 2025 on his own and came to me and said they've been working on this for 10 years. I said, no, my love, they've been working on this for a lot longer than that. So to prove it to him, we watched a fantastic new documentary that everyone should watch before November 5th called Bad Faith. It shows the rise of white Christian nationalism and their rise to power. Power, money, greed, extreme conservatism want to control the government. Watch Bad Faith and see how. You can Google where to stream, but I watched it for free on Tubi with ads. Here is a listen to their trailer.
Everything can be reduced to right and wrong. Make no mistake about it. We are talking about Christianizing America.
That which God has given us, we will allow no one to take away.
The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade.
We will make America great again.
It's time for us people to come out of the churches.
Christian nationalism uses religion to justify all kinds of evil.
Christian nationalism has been a political tool for centuries.
It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's about power and politics.
The goal was to enshrine Christian identity as the law of the land.
To reclaim the United States for God.
You can't take over society unless you take over the seven pillars. And they've gone one by one to do it.
We want total war.
We are the Christian Taliban.
We need to force the people to believe what we believe.
When government is in the hands of godly men, it is good. But in the hands of all others, it is evil.
There are so many more stories about Trump's corrupt and inept cabinet. So tune in next time when I talk about immigration and the border and share how Trump called and harassed daily his hard-ass director of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, to be even more ruthless when it came to the border and how she skirted around family separation only to be fired in the end because she wouldn't break the laws for Trump. I don't know about you, but like Biden said to the media, that politics is not entertainment or a reality show. And I don't need another four seasons of Trump's Apprentice. Thank you for tuning in, and remember you can go back to season one and hear the sections and chapters of Project 2025. I care about our country, and I hope you do too. Remember to vote November 5th.